I was going to stand up there, but it feels way too far away. So I'm just going to come down here and forget the notes and talk, if that's okay with everybody. We're going to read for us the passage from Luke chapter 2, which is a traditional Christmas story, and then I'd just like to share some things with you about that. This is Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Amen. So all of us have likely heard a version of this story quite a bit in our life. And every year around Christmas time, we know that every store we go in, every house is decorated with lights, and every store we go in is, you know, right after Thanksgiving, if not before Thanksgiving, decked with all sorts of Christmas decorations. And what naturally comes of this season is this sense that all of us are just supposed to naturally feel joyous. And even if you encounter someone in a store in your community or in your neighborhood that's a Scrooge, we say, "Don't you know it's Christmas? Don't you know that you ought to be perfectly joyous and happy?" And then when we imagine what this Christmas story was like, we usually attach to it all these wonderfully happy and good symbols. All our manger scenes, if we have them at home, have Joseph and Mary right next to the baby Jesus inside of some sort of barn. Maybe you have hay around them, and there's all the soldiers and the shepherds are all gathered around. Our nativity scene at home has a dog, which I'm not sure where the dog came from. But you all have some sort of perfect setting of what this Christmas day would have been like. And though it very rarely snows in Bethlehem, we all imagine that it was this snowy day. But when you open up the Bible and actually read the story, it actually speaks much more to the tension that is our lives, that it isn't always so perfect and fairy tale-like. The context by which Jesus was born into was dangerous. It was violent. At this time in the world, Caesar Augustus was the head of the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire literally stretched from England almost all the way to India. Not quite to India, but almost to India. And it was basically all of the world that they knew at the time was under the same government, was under the Roman Empire. And it was oppressive. They controlled most aspects of life. The government was organized in such a way that it's some places Rome had a lot of control. In other places, because the distance was so far away, they actually had governors that oversaw what was happening. So in Judea, where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem, there was a governor named Herod that oversaw what was happening there. And Herod is a historical figure of quite prominent notoriety. Very brutal dictator. Very controlling of his people. He wanted everyone to perceive him as God. And so he had all these myths that perpetuated that sense of him being divine and powerful. And anyone, literally anyone that defied him in any way was killed. He killed a wife. He killed three of his sons because he was fearful that they were trying to oppose him. Anyone that put any group of people together that raised up an uprising of any form, he immediately squashed them and killed those groups of people, thousands of people at a time. And so in this context where the Jewish people, who was Jesus' family, Mary and Joseph and their family, and this group of people believed, because of all the Old Testament scriptures, in one God, in Yahweh. And here was their government leader telling them that he was God and needed all of their allegiance. And so anytime they stepped up and fought against this, Jews were brutally massacred. It was a rough, rough period in history. A rough time, particularly for the Jewish people. Lots of pain and suffering. In the news this week, we've heard a lot about Kim Jong-il, who was the leader in North Korea. And in many ways, he tried to get the North Korean people to see him as a god, too, and made up all sorts of myths. I read this week that one of the myths around his birth was that it was predicted and prophesied by a swallow. And he even told the people that the moment when he was born, the season changed from winter to spring. And people believed this. And the craziest one of all the things that I read about him is he actually told the people that the very first time he ever went golfing, on 18 holes, he golfed a 34. 11 holes in one on a round of golf. So you think that's crazy? Herod had myths just like that attached to himself, a brutal dictator. And into this world, there was this group of Jewish people that believed in this one God. And when they spoke up, they faced persecution. And the world was dark. And then we read this story in this time period where this girl, Mary, has an angel that appears to her. And this angel appears to her and says, "You will be pregnant." And we often have wonderful images of what this must have looked like. Mary was likely 12, 13, 14. She's a teenager. She's not married. And now she's pregnant. And an angel has told her this. And she's engaged to Joseph. And thank goodness an angel talks to Joseph as well, because this is not a good situation for them. It's a crazy story. And they go through life having God telling them this, and they go through the normal period of a woman being pregnant. And then Caesar Augustus, the big guy in Rome, has a census and says, "I need all the people to go back to their original hometown, and that's where they'll be counted." And so Mary and Joseph, remember, Mary's pregnant, and they have to go all the way to Bethlehem, which is 80, 90 miles away. She's pregnant, and they have to make that journey, which would have taken at the very quickest pace a week. They make all that trek, that long distance to Bethlehem, and they get there, and there's no suitable place for them to stay. I mean, what must have been going through their minds? It's not the beautiful Christmas story that we usually picture in our mind. It's tough. It's scary. I mean, Mary had to be terrified. And yes, she was faithful. Yes, she trusted God. Yes, she believed. But she was terrified and scared. And you'd think that God would appear to her, provide this beautiful accommodation. She's carrying the Son of God. But they had lots of questions that must have gone through their hearts and their minds. And they arrive in Bethlehem. And we don't necessarily know, because the text doesn't tell us what length of time passes, but a certain period of time passes, and she goes into labor, and it says that she has this child. Probably not in the way that she expected, not even in a way she understands. But into this world of brokenness and pain for the Jewish people, comes the simple baby. And we have to remember the place that the Jewish people had been in. They had been in this place where for thousands of years God had spoken to them through all these prophets. And in many times they had been in their promised land and had received a fair amount of blessing. But in this period of time, there had been great silence. They searched for God all over the place, but they never heard anything. Malachi, the last prophet, 400 years before John the Baptist. Nothing. Silence. And I think that when we're honest with ourselves and when we find ourselves particularly in a difficult year, we know that that's our reality too. That this Christmas story, our lives, are both the tension between highs and lows. And what the Christmas story, I think, reminds us of this evening is that into that world comes this baby. And as we read on in the text, the shepherds do come, the wise men do come. And as he grows up and he begins to teach and he reveals who he is, we realize that he is the hope of the world. That God did not just stay up on some perch to watch us, to figure things out on our own, but God literally put on our skin, came in the most humble way possible in the form of a baby, 100% dependent on other people, to dwell with us, to be Emmanuel, God with us. And this evening, as you reflect on your life, on the pain, on the suffering, on the loss, on divorce, on loss of children, all the things that happen in this broken world, this Christmas story, this reality, this historical fact of God entering into our world gives us hope. We may not feel it. This isn't some magic button that we press and instantly everything's better and life is wonderful and we go out and smile. But amidst our suffering, amidst our pain, there is this hope, this reality, that this life is not all that there is. That human suffering is not the end of the story, because God has interjected himself into this world and done something with it. And though his work has just begun, there will be a day when it comes to full fruition. And all the hopes and the aspirations and the dreams will come full reality for us. It's a powerful story. It's a real story. And it's a story that I think speaks into our lives this evening. And my prayer for all of us is that we don't feel the pressure to fake our happiness and our joy, but that we believe in a God that can write a psalm like Psalm 22 that cries out honestly, God, where are you? I can't find you. I can't see you. I don't feel you. But that we also believe in a God that a psalm later can say, I am your shepherd. That tension is real, and that is our life on earth. But we do believe in a God that is here and present with us, that provides that hope and healing.